1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. What a privilege to be a part of God's plan, a part of this church, a part of an independent, fundamental Bible preaching church. I enjoy church. I love church, but I love the fact that this is a church that stood for truth for a long time. I love the leaders. I love the ministries. I love everything about Capital City Baptist Church. Its imperfections and flaws, of course, exist, but all the same, I don't know of a better place to be. I'm glad for the men that the leaders, the pastors, the evangelists, the missionaries that God has brought our way. I'm thankful for the Christian school and the club ministry and for the staff. I'm thankful for every church member, for those that have been added to the church over the past few years. I am grateful to be your pastor. And as we enter the new year, as we look at 2015, really, we ought to be concerned with, you know, as we come to church, the question is, are we coming? Is it just emotion? Is it a tradition? Is it a habit? Or truly, are we coming committed, sold out, growing? Let me ask you for just a minute as we go into this message, why don't you take just a few seconds to review 2014 in your mind and say, okay, where am I at as far as a member of Capital City Baptist Church? Can I measure my growth? Have I seen progress? Personal progress, family progress, progress in my ministry. Am I more sold out, more committed, more dedicated, more spiritual than I've ever been? Or did I kind of slip into neutral this year? Maybe into reverse. And as we go into the new year, we ought to say, okay, I have a stewardship given to me by God as a member of this church. And here's really what I believe it all boils down to. How often and how important it is to hear God's voice in our lives, because outside of that, backsliding is certain. Here's what God's done. God's done us a favor. Go back with me to Genesis chapter 3. From the beginning of time, He established a designated specific place to meet with man, to speak with man. And here's kind of what's happening in Christianity in 2015, 2014. In our generation, really the communication has become a monologue instead of a dialogue. It's simply man asking God to do certain things in his life instead of there being two-way communication. It's saying, God, I want to hear from you. I want you to speak to me. And especially in these designated places, the purpose, when God established a designated place, He wants man to hear His voice. Let me ask you this as we get into this message. Have you stopped hearing God's voice? How many times did you go to church this past year? If there's 52 weeks, three services a week, not counting special meetings or conferences or anything else, but if we just talk about 150 services, number one, how many of those services were you in your place? And number two, how many of those services did you specifically hear personally from God? Because we establish this habit. I mean, we get up as late as possible, walk in as late as possible, listen to as little as possible, live distracted mentally, emotionally, spiritually. We didn't get enough sleep the night before. We're still worried about what happened on Friday or on Saturday. There's a relationship problem taking place in our life, a financial problem, a spiritual problem. Maybe something happened on the way in. Maybe something happened in the car, the conversation on the way to church. Maybe the children did something that disturbed or perturbed the entire family. Maybe you walked in the church, someone wasn't waiting for you or on you. Maybe you didn't get the parking spot that you wanted and had to go down the street a block or two, and that all disturbed you, and by the time you got in, you couldn't find a seat, and all of that has so preoccupied your mind that you're not going to hear from God. But that's not really the reason you came anyways. You're still trying to figure out why you came. So why do I go to church? Why am I so faithful? Why am I even here? That's what we need to understand this morning. We have a stewardship of this time, in this service, in this place, that is a designated meeting place with God. Look what it said in Genesis 3. Going all the way back to the garden, when God made Adam and Eve and put them there in the garden. Verse 8, they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden. Although we know this is right after their sin, Eve had disobeyed the word of the Lord, eaten of the fruit, given it to Adam. Although they had fallen, done wrong, they were still listening to the voice of God. God said, I'm going to come, I'm going to walk with you, I want to converse with you. They were hiding from God, but all the same, they heard the voice of God. How is it that we've gotten so far from God that we no longer even hear? Oh, he speaks. If you come to the house of God, you hear the word of God, you come to a church like this where it's preached every time the doors are open, God is speaking, but too often his children are not listening. That's not the purpose of church anymore. Now church is about fun and entertainment and let's see what they have for me and let's see how the special music is this morning. Let's see what the choir has put together. Let's see what the class has to offer. Let's see what the pastor's going to bring for us this morning. But it's not a mentality. Listen, it's amazing to me. You can find people in the hallways. You can find people in the parking lot. You can find people make the effort, come all the way to church and never actually be there. Come all the way to church and sing the song, sit in the pew, open the Bible, and never really get there. What the purpose of church has become, I really don't know. But I would have to say the majority of the people sitting in our pews all across this nation, I'm not talking about any emergent church. I'm not talking about churches that we wouldn't even classify as a true biblical church. I'm talking about among God's people in God's church. There's a casualness. There is a total lack of expectation, a lack of desire, where people are not even coming to, they're not coming to hear from God, so they're not hearing from God. God, from the very beginning of time, said, I'm going, because I've created you, to have communion with you, I'm going to establish a designated place for us to meet together. Now, back in, originally, there in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, the garden, this was the place that God had designated to meet with man. But man kind of ruined that. Genesis chapter 26. We see later on God used the altar. And there around the altar, he would meet with man. That's what you see with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses. But here in Genesis 26, verse 23, he went up from thence to Beersheba. The Lord appeared unto him the same night, and he said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, pitched his tent there. And here's what you're going to see among the patriarchs. They would build altars. God would meet specifically with them and speak directly to them. Now we know this was a different dispensation, a different age. We don't build those altars anymore. We don't make those kind of sacrifices. We don't have those personal encounters face to face. But we do know this. God's purpose has always been to meet personally with man. Isn't it incredible to think that the creator of the universe, the omnipotent, omniscient one, wants to meet individually, personally, with us? Now, we have an advantage that no other dispensation has had outside of Adam and Eve there in the garden. Adam and Eve had a daily communion with God, but after sin interrupted that, now we see God meeting with specific people at specific times, but there wasn't a regular daily communion taking place. Then he established the tabernacle. Go with me to Exodus for just a minute. God made his dwelling place, the tabernacle, more specifically the Ark of the Covenant. Exodus chapter 25, there in the Holy of Holies, he's giving his instructions to Moses, specifically to Bezalel, who be the builder of this ark. And he says in verse 20, the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings. Their faces shall look one to another toward the mercy seat, shall the faces of the cherubims be. Now here in this golden box with the cherubims facing each other on top, God is giving them instruction. This is specifically the way it's supposed to be built. This is where it's supposed to be placed in the tabernacle. And then here's what he says. Look what it says in verse 21. Thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. Verse 22, and there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee. He said, this will be my dwelling place, and this is where I'll speak to you. Look what it says in Exodus chapter 40, verse 31. Moses and Aaron, his sons, washed their hands, their feet, their hand. When they went into the tent of the congregation, when they came near unto the altar, they washed as the Lord commanded Moses, and he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar and set up the hangings of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Now you have to understand, this was quite a moment, because God had given them in great detail all the furnishings of the tabernacle, and these people there in the wilderness had to take what God had given them and build these curtains for the walls, and they'd put together the altar and the candlesticks and all these things they'd put together for the tabernacle. And now that it's up, God's about ready to reveal himself and make this place his habitation. Verse 34, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Verse 35, Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Isn't it amazing to you that God actually wants to meet with man? You would think after Adam and Eve had sinned and broken that fellowship, he would have said, okay, do it your way. You would think at least after Noah and the destruction of mankind, the flood, and after mistake and Israel, they're in bondage and slavery and all the griping and complaining and knowing not just their past and their present, but knowing also their future, God in his patience and mercy says, I still personally want to meet with you. So he gives them the instructions. They build the tabernacle. He inhabits the Holy of Holies, and his glory comes down. His presence is so real that Moses can't even enter because of the glory of the Lord. Now, here's what I want you to see this morning. God wants to meet with man, but man normally doesn't want to meet with God. It doesn't make sense. I can't understand it. Human nature resists it. But if the God of heaven wants to meet with us today, why don't we have an anxiousness, an earnestness, a zealousness to meet with him? Boy, there are people on the earth that most Christians would want to meet up with. Sometimes it'd be a sports star, a politician. I had a pastor call me this week, preacher, I'm coming to Austin, and I'm going to meet with the governor. And we'll be there for a few days. I wanted to know, and he asked me a few questions, and you could see the joy in his soul, the fact that he was going to be able to meet with the governor of Texas. Now, I don't have anything against the governor of Texas, but I don't see the average Christian bursting with joy and glee because he meets or can meet daily with God Almighty. Boy, if you told the average teenager he was going to meet with Tom Brady, or Peyton Manning, or some sports star, you couldn't calm him down. He'd be making phone calls, sending texts, taking pictures. But if you tell him he can have a meeting with God this morning in the house of God, doesn't even register on the scale. Look what it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 5. 2 Chronicles 5. Now we have the temple. The tabernacle was hauled around that wilderness. 40 years, that was God's meeting place. But at some point, God said, I want a more permanent dwelling place. David wanted to build the temple. God wouldn't allow him to do it. Solomon, David raised the money. Solomon did the building. And when it's finished, now we see the dedication. Look what it says in verse 11. Came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not then wait by course. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, Heman, with their sons and their brethren being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests, sounding with trumpets. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house. Do you see where we're going this morning? God wants to meet with man. When this temple was dedicated, he came down once again in such a clear and obvious way. He said, I want to meet with you. I want to speak with you. I want to speak to you. Now, in order to meet with God, there are some key requirements. Preparation is obviously one of those. It wasn't just preparation and building the place, but preparation for the moment. Did you notice in that text that we just read, everything that was put into place, the singers and all the preparation? Listen, he had to handpick the right musicians and the trumpeters and these that were prepared to play the music, prepared for the moment. There was no haphazard effort to come and dedicate the house of God. And God was literally, physically, visibly going to inhabit this place and dwell among men. We're going to fast forward in just a minute to the church. But until we see God wanting to meet with man, that is his goal. That's the reason for our creation. That's the reason for our existence. God wants your time. God wants your thoughts. God wants your heart. God wants to speak specifically with you and to you, not in a spooky way. Oh, I know the man has all these concepts of how God speaks. You better be careful about all of that. We know how God speaks. Amen. Through his word. Amen. Don't be driving down the road and you see something on a billboard and there's a Bible verse. God's speaking to me. Look at the sign. Look at the picture. Look at the rainbow. Listen, you got a book in your hand. Amen, amen. If you'd read it, you would hear God speak. You wouldn't have to be looking for a billboard. You wouldn't have to be waiting for a rainstorm. You wouldn't have to be following a rainbow. You would know what God has to say to you. But there was preparation. It started with sanctification. Let me ask you this. How much time did you spend in prayer preparing to hear from God this morning before you ever walked in these doors? Was there a cleansing? That's what sanctification is. Verse 11, it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified. Now, if you know anything about the law of the priesthood and the tabernacle and the temple, these men had to be very careful, because if they were to enter with any sin into their heart in the holy place, they would drop dead at that very moment. I guarantee you there was some serious soul searching that took place. Now, I know that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. I know that you are the Holy of Holies. But this church is God's dwelling place. Why is it that we bring in our sinful thoughts, our anger, our frustration, our disputings, our all of that garbage from the world we bring to the church, haphazardly walk in, hurry out, never truly giving thought to hearing from God? And this is why there's no spiritual advancement. This is why there's no spiritual progress, whether that's in your marriage, whether that's in your relationships, whether that's in your daily walk, whether that's in your philosophy, your thinking. It's not that you're talking more and more like a grounded Christian. It's not that you're becoming a better witness. It's not that your home is more united. It's not that your kids are more gratefully serving Jesus, because we come and never hear from God. We don't hear a voice. Our altars are empty. It's a race to get in and a race to get out. And with what purpose do we come to the meeting place? Can you imagine getting an appointment with the governor of Texas, going down to the Capitol, going straight to his office, speaking with the secretary, walking into his room, shaking his hand, and tuning out for the next 15 minutes. And when you walked out, your friends, your wife, your children, curiosity seeping out their pores, and they said, "So what did you talk about?" "I don't know. He spoke for about 15 minutes. I don't know what he said, but he was like, blah, 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 blah. Anyways, I guess it's good stuff. Nice tie. This is really a nice tie. Beautiful desk. That man has some money. I liked his shoes. I was expecting wingtips, but he didn't wear those." Anyways, people say, "You mean to tell me you took all the time, you arranged that meeting, and you didn't hear a word that he had to say to you?" "No, I really wasn't that interested. I just want to be able to say that I went and met with the governor. I wanted to walk into the office. I wanted to enjoy the moment. I was not there to listen to that man speak." Then why did you go? So we would take the time and dress up and drive down and take those hours out of our day, walk into church, and never hear the voice of God. That is the tradition of the average Christian. God says, "I have a designated time, a designated meeting place, and I know we're the temple of God. I know we're supposed to have daily communion with him. I know we're supposed to have fellowship. I know we're supposed to be in that book and pray. I know that, and I hope you are doing that." But listen, if you're not hearing from God Sunday morning, I know you're not hearing from God on Monday. If you're not hearing from God on Sunday night, I know you're not hearing from God on Wednesday. If you're not interested in the house of God, the word of God, the voice of God, the message of God, you're not growing. Nothing is changing. His voice will revolutionize your life. Read the scripture. When he speaks to man, man's life changes. It's not just his destiny that changes. His walk changes. His talk changes. His relationship change. Everything about that man's life, when he hears the voice. Now, you know what Christ said in Matthew 7, speaking of the wise man. He said, "He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them," almost in a casual way. Because when it comes to Christians, that's what's expected of the average Christian. He's supposed to hear and do. But Christians, they aren't doing because they're not hearing. Oh, to think that we would take 2 hours out of our day on Sunday morning to wake up early, brush our teeth, comb our hair, iron our clothes, eat breakfast, get in the car, prepare the kids, drive to church, fuss with the parking, come in, find a seat, and then say, "I made that effort, but it's really not about hearing from God." And I'll explain in just a minute why it's not about hearing from God. But if there's not a preparation, where we are praying and cleansing our heart and saying, God, I want to hear from you today. If there's not some praising and thanking the Lord like we see in verse 13, they came prepared, and that's why they heard from God. Look what it says. They said, he is good. The Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever. They finished praising and thanking God. And then what does the Bible say? Then the house was filled. When they made a preparation, specific preparation, God came down and met with them. Most people coming to the house of God are not prepared to hear the voice of God. Maybe prepared to give a lesson, maybe prepared to sing a song, maybe prepared to play the piano, maybe prepared to teach a class, but not truly prepared to hear from God. Many Christians this year, their home didn't change, their marriage didn't change, their life didn't change, their soul winning didn't change. Nothing changed. That only happens when you're not hearing from God. Because when you hear from God and do what he says, your life is strangely in a constant state of change. It's uncomfortable. But God is constantly trying to better your life. That's why he's speaking to you. It's called sanctification. And that'll happen all the way till you get to heaven. Look what it says in verse, chapter 7, verse 1. It's not just about preparation. It's about reception. You got to be tuned in. Chapter 7, verse 1. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering, the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. The priest could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. You know it when you come to God's house and the glory of the Lord fills the house. This isn't about one or two people. This is about a congregation. Corporately, as the body of Christ, we are together meeting. But when you have half the congregation unprepared to meet with God, it's not going to happen. Verse 12, the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard thy prayer. I have chosen this place to myself for a house. He said, this is my meeting place. But you know why Solomon is hearing from God? He is tuned in. You know, the average Christian, how he comes to church, he's not even tuned in. Here's what the average Christian hears. That's it. That's church. Close, so close to the channel. So close, so far away. Amazing how close that is from being tuned in, tuned out. Some are tuned into a totally different channel this morning. You're hearing something. Once you heard the text, you just tuned a different channel. You've got to come tuned in. How many times have we come to the house of God? We're not tuned in during the music. Average church, average congregation, half the church isn't even tuned in during the music. And the preaching starts, and there's just a buzz going on. We're tuned in to what happened yesterday. We're tuned in to what's going to happen this afternoon. We're tuned in to something that bothered us. We can't get off our mind. We're tuned to something. Your mind is tuned to something. But most people are not tuned into God and tuned in enough where there's a, I'm on the right channel and I want God to speak to me today. Did you even walk in tuned in? Because if you tuned in, you're going to hear something. How is it that you can have 350 people in the same place and 50 walk out having heard from God and 300 walk out? Not that they couldn't tell you what the message was about. Because the Holy Spirit always delivers the right mail to the right address, and it's amazing how you can have hundreds of people listen to the same message and everyone hears something different. When you're listening to the Holy Spirit, He's going to deliver the mail you need for the moment. And you're not going to hear what someone else heard. But you ought to be tuned into God so you can hear His voice. The stewardship of this hour is incredible. If your purpose is not having the Holy Spirit direct something to your life, for today, you're in the wrong place. You are a steward of this moment. There should be some mental preparation, some reception, some determination. Go with me to 1 Timothy. Let's go back there for just a minute. We'll go to Acts. Let's skip forward to the present day. Where's God's designated meeting place for this generation? If I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself. Did you know this is a generation that says there's no required behavior in the house of God? And that's why God's not speaking. That's why people aren't hearing. Because people aren't going to the house of God to hear from God. It's become a social club. It's become a feel-good movement. It's become a moment to get together and hear a rock band and listen to a praise team and go home and pat yourself on the back and say, I've done something spiritual this week, and it has nothing to do with spiritual or the Spirit of God. The message wasn't preached. The Word of God wasn't heard. The Holy Spirit wasn't even present. They tried to fabricate something. God wants to speak to man. And He says, because man is so casual about that, I'm going to designate a meeting place. Now, how is it? Maybe you missed it on Monday. You shouldn't have. If you're a Christian, if you're a grown Christian, you should have met with God on Monday. You should have met with God on Tuesday. You should have met with God on the highway, in your workplace, in your closet, in your house, no matter where you were. You should have had a personal meeting with God. But God says, I know man will fail in that, so I want to have a specific meeting place. What is that designated meeting place in our generation? The church. Whose idea was the church? You say, well, Pastor, is Wednesday night biblical? Absolutely. Wednesday night's biblical. Thursday night's biblical. Friday night's biblical. Saturday night. Biblical is every day. That's how they met the New Testament church. Read the book of Acts. Now, I believe Sunday, the first day of the week, is specifically set aside. But if you want to get biblical, you would meet with God every single day of the week in His house. But we wear people out three times a week. If you travel across this nation and attend a church on a Wednesday night and look at the size of the crowd. Churches have started canceling Wednesday night. Churches have started canceling Sunday night. Because people feel it less and less. That's not a Bible principle. Look what it said in Hebrews 10:25. What is the Bible principle? The Bible principle is not less and less, but more and more. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a man or some is, but exhorting one another, and what? So much the more as ye see the day approach. Speaking of the day of the Lord, how many of you believe that we are near to the day of the Lord? So what is the principle? So much the more. Those that believe that will be here tomorrow night. Those that believe that will be here Tuesday night. Boy, I've never needed, once I got Jesus Christ in my heart, I didn't need anyone to push me or pull me or prod me. I didn't need to make a commitment. I didn't need a phone call. I didn't need anyone saying, preacher, you're going to be in your place. You're going to be in the house of God. I want to be the first one here, the last one to leave. I love God's house. It's no struggle to come. It doesn't matter if it's a one-week meeting, a two-week meeting. I have people say, you have a missions conference that runs Sunday to Sunday, 30 preaching services. How do you do it? How do I do it? Ask me how I do it on Monday, because I wake up Monday and say, why aren't we having church? I like church in the morning. I like church at night. I like church in the afternoon. I don't care what time of day it is or what day of the week it is or what week of the month it is or what month of the year it is. I like church. Now, here's what I don't like about church. I don't like the back row. Man, there's a lot of distractions. I don't know how in the world you can hear anything from God sitting on the back row. You got people moving and babies crying and things happening. I want to get as close to the front. I mean to tell you, I like getting so close to the front, I stay on the platform. I mean, I want to be close to the front. I don't want distraction. I mean, at some point, you got to say, I need to walk in early. I need to be there on time. I want to sing. I want to participate. I want to hear from God. I want to be involved. I want to make sure. Listen, if you say, well, I kind of have my pew picked out, my spot. Listen, if you have a pew picked out and there happens to be someone close by that's also picked out a pew and has a little kid that seems to be a constant distraction, I would repick pews. You say you can in this church, Pastor. It's too full. You can't move around. There's always room on the front row. And if the kids take up the place, scoot them over, push them off, send them to the choir loft, make room. Say, I want to hear from God, and I don't want any distraction that'll keep me from hearing from God. It's amazing how tuned in you are to that soccer game or that football game. Oh, today there's some playoff games and people be sitting down, and here's what they want. Cell phones turned off, people shut out, kids to be quiet. I want to see the game. Babe, do not walk in front of that TV woman. They're tuned in. 3 hours, no one complaining about a three-hour service when it's Jerry Jones that's holding it. No one complaining about the collection. No one complaining about the parking. No one complaining about the temperature in the auditorium. Today they'll be sitting in freezing weather for 3 hours listening at decibels that no ear should ever have to listen at, and still enjoy the fact that they paid $575 to be there. And you put in a $10 bill parked 50 feet away in a place that's 70 degrees and ends after an hour and still can't seem to be happy to be here. And the difference is, when you're there, it's almost guaranteed your team is going to lose. How many come to realize that? You can sit here and know your team's not going to lose. Your captain, not the captain of a sinking ship. It's not year after year a disappointment, but year after year a victory. It's not people getting lost, it's people getting saved. It's not people getting hurt, it's people getting helped. I don't know why there wouldn't be more joy here than there. Strangely enough, we come to the house again. We park our carcass on a chair. And then we say, I hope he reads a verse I've never heard before. And preaches like he's never preached before. Because I don't want to go to another bummer of a service. That only happens when you haven't come prepared to hear from God, because when this book is open, God is speaking. This is the voice of God. Now, God has given us his written word. How does God speak in this generation? Look at Acts chapter 2. We see the early church. We know Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, one-time incident. The Holy Spirit comes down, 3,000 souls are saved. But what happens in our generation? God meeting with man, a specific place, a designated place, his house, the local church. How does he speak? Through his written word. Verse 37, now when they what? Heard. What did they hear? The word preached. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Look what it says in chapter 7. Although they didn't have a specific building at this time, they couldn't have built a building to hold this crowd. The church at Jerusalem was a mega church. Tens of thousands of people had been saved and baptized. Acts chapter 2, 3,000 were saved. Acts 4, 5,000 were saved. It was a mega congregation. They did not have a mega facility. But look what it says, Acts 7:54. Stephen is preaching. He's preaching the word. Verse 54, when they what? They heard the word of God, the written word of God. They were cut to the heart. Man's not interested in hearing from God because the word of God, hearing from God's disturbing. You go all the way back to Genesis 3. It doesn't matter who it was. It doesn't even matter if they were in tune, totally surrendered, living for God, wanting to do right. Someone like Abraham, the word was still disturbing. Abraham, why don't you leave your family? Why don't you leave your city? Where are you going? Where am I going? What are we doing? Doesn't matter. Just sell the house and start walking. That's disturbing. It's life-changing. God's word is disturbing, so we've realized being tuned in to God's voice is disturbing. So we prefer to tune out. If I sit here and actually hear, meditate upon, listen to, then I've got to obey. All that's disturbing. God's word is interruptive, disruptive, disturbing in its very nature. And here's what you see. As God spoke through his written word, decisions had to be made. Now let me ask you this. When's the last time you made a spiritual decision? Spiritual commitment on your own. We don't have practical Christianity anymore. Let's talk about this year. Let's talk about goals. Let's talk about 2015. How many of you sat down and said, I have some spiritual goals? Maybe you've never read your Bible through and you said, okay, I've listened to the Word of God, to the Holy Spirit, and I know the instruction, the written Word of God is, that I should meditate therein day and night. And I know according to Psalms 1 that I'm blessed if I do that. So you can either be obedient, now that you've heard the word of God, you can be obedient, and you've got to make a decision. You say, okay, this year I want to read my Bible through Genesis to Revelation before the end of the year. Now, obviously, in a congregation this size, there are people, probably dozens of people, never read their Bible through, not one time. It's not that you haven't heard from God. It's that you heard and didn't take steps to obey what you heard. So now you have to come and stop hearing. So now when someone talks about reading the Word of God, all you hear is blah, 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 blah. Nothing changed. Your Bible reading didn't change. Your reading habits didn't change. That Bible app was never used. A personal walk was never established. You simply had to say, okay, now when I go to the house of God, that's just something I won't hear. That's another thing on the list of things I won't hear. So our selective hearing takes place in the house of God because we don't want to hear from God. So whatever is not already put into motion has to be tuned out. Or my life is interrupted and things have to be changed. This year, let me ask you, have you sat down yet to say, okay, we missed 6 services this past year. We're going to go the entire year and not miss a church service. Unless we're in the hospital, unless we're deathly sick, unless a tragedy strikes, something, the world is blowing up, we're going to be in the house of God. No more feeble excuses. I'm not going to allow myself to miss a service. I'm going to go to some organized soul-winning meetings. I'm going to go to some organized prayer meetings. You say, Pastor, what happens? What happens there depends upon you. Do you understand the casualness of so-called Christianity where it's no longer, I remember in my childhood, it didn't matter if it was revival or services. I remember as a kid, I wanted to be on the front row. Boy, we were a little church. I just went back to Rifle this past year and I took Chris there. And every time I go back, that church has shrunk just a little bit more. Boy, that original church, I don't know how many of you remember that, Rifle, Colorado, that little red brick building. I mean, it's the size of a tinderbox. In my mind, when I was a kid, it was huge. And I'd walk all the way up to the front row, but boy, I remember those men that pastor would bring in the services and the power of God and the voice of God. Listen, if I had been listening to God, I would have never heard the call of God in my life to preach. If I hadn't been listening to God, I would never heard the call of God in my life to go to Bible college. If I hadn't been listening to the voice of God, I would never heard the call of God to go to Argentina and then Mexico and then Capital City. If I hadn't listened to the voice of God, I would never heard His call of salvation. And boy, it's amazing how many after salvation have tuned Him out because they know there's still too much to change in my life. And those are things, I just want you to know, God, that I'm not going to change. I'm too old to change. Boy, how we like to give the Holy Spirit the same excuse every time He tries to work. Now, at this point in your Christian life, it's don't mess with my personality. You can mess with everything else. My personality ain't going to change. I was born with that. I'm living with that. I'm going to die with that. And everyone else can accept that. I'm an angry person by nature. God says, that ain't a personality. That's a sin. You know, my DNA, I'm hyper-stressed. No, you're hyper-sinful. And God wants to change that. But you've already made a decision. I've changed everything that's going to change. I changed my wardrobe. I changed my shirt. I changed my shoes. I changed my Sunday habits. And I changed my children. But nothing else is changing after that. So I don't know why I need to listen to the Holy Spirit when I go to church anyways. I've changed about everything I'm going to change. I'm maxed out. That's the way the average Christian lives. It's disturbing to us because it's corrective. God says, there's still things I want to correct.